Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Creamer Law, Business Law, CreamerLaw.com. And Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
It is the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. Grateful that you guys are hanging out with us this afternoon. With us in studio is our friend Mike Caldwell from Square One. That's part of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. And he's a regular here, kind of a regular contributor, because each month he's got a special thing going on. And this month is really special for us because we can... You know, he's going to be talking about Mike Caldwell. This is really interesting. That's the way I previewed this. So,
all right,
welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So, okay,
how'd this happen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been interviewing entrepreneurs, I think, for almost 5 years now. Startup stories. And it's actually,
you know,
going
would be
on longer
interesting?
Than that.
Excuse me for bumping in here. You know what would be interesting is to take a look at all of those interviews that you've done for 5 years.
Yeah.
And see who's still in the game and who's not.
Who is and who's not. Yeah, and, you know, I would be surprised if half of them aren't still in business, because it's a pretty stellar group. I have to be honest with you, I don't pick the brand new ones. I pick the ones that have made it a little bit far down the road. And some are pretty new. Some are like 6 months in, and some haven't made it, but that happens. So anyway, we were talking about this, about who we should have on, and asking people. And we do a survey after every event. And my name kept coming up. I'm like, why do you guys want to hear from me? You know,
yeah, really.
And so Tej Dawan, who's a great friend of mine and my partner at Plains Angels and a very successful entrepreneur, said, no, I think people want to hear from you. And so we got to talking about it. What we're going to do is spend some time talking about the community,
mm-hmm.
Talking about what's working and what's not. Probably a pretty honest discussion. I'm kind of known for being honest to people. And I don't mean in a rude way. It's just... I see so many cases where someone has been told by all their friends, it's a great idea, it's a great idea, you really need to do it. And then 100 grand later, they're wondering what happened to them. And we're too nice in the Midwest when it comes to our friends and startup businesses. And we need to be really direct about it and say, you know, I question whether or not you can make that work. Mm-hmm. And I think you ought to really prove it before you spend your life savings on it. So we're going to be talking about that.
Okay.
And from a lot of different angles.
And so Tej is going to interview you.
I'll get him back. I'll ask him a few questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Too, so.
Yeah. Oh, don't ask me about that. Let me ask you about that.
Yeah,
all right.
And then we all just open up to the audience. So half the show, 30 minutes will be audience questions. So.
And this all gets underway when?
It starts at 11:30 next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
11:30 to 1. We eat lunch for half an hour in network. And so the actual event starts at noon, or the actual discussion. But and if you can register on my website, squareonedsm.com. You can bring your own lunch and join us for free. You can pay us a little money, and we'll make sure there's a nice lunch there for you.
There you go. Mike Caldwell, ladies and gentlemen, Square One here in Des Moines. You know, whenever we have this conversation, we don't have anybody else to talk to today other than you
and I,
which
usually,
is kind of fun.
There's somebody else here to pick on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we get to pick on each other a little bit. As we look at, you know, what works, what doesn't work, those kinds of things, what does work? What seems to be the niche that we have here in the Des Moines marketplace that seems to work with many of these startups?
Well, I think what works the best is business-to-business startups.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to be more business-to-business here than business-to-retail.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any real heavy industry. It's pure consumer retail. I mean, you can say insurance is retail, but it's not. It's not like a storefront or that type of thing, or making retail clothing or retail computers. And we do some of those things, but we do a lot more business to business. And I think what we see is a lot of people that have been involved in industry saying, I could do that better.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on the outside and do it better than on the inside. So obviously some of the industries, insurance, ag, it's the places we're already strong. Most industries form clusters around themselves, right? And it's kind of like restaurants. You ever notice how they're all grouped together? That helps the restaurant.
That's why
not
Burger
hurts.
King wants to go next to McDonald's.
Right. Yeah, and because it actually works. You think, well, you're next to your competitor, but it's like, no, it drives that way because all the restaurants are there. So if you're off on your own, you get hurt. So I think it's the same kind of thing with clusters of industries here.
You know, it's interesting. I've always thought, and I've been doing this marketing and advertising gig for a long, long time, and I have always thought that it's much easier to sell or to market B2B than what it is B2C, because your universe is not so huge, and the cost level to get in there and to market B2B is much more concise. You don't have to, you know, if you're trying to reach 40 million people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That gets really expensive.
You're absolutely right. It's easier in one regard. It's harder than the other. In the one regard, it is easier because you can target your customer. You can actually look them up online. You can find people's names, phone numbers, and so on. It's harder because the sell cycle can be long.
Mm-hmm.
I have a client who has software in the banking industry. Their sell cycle can be over a year from first contact to close. So whereas in retail, most things happen pretty quick and a lot of impulse buying. It's like they walk in, you sell them something, they leave, or they come back in a day and buy it, or they go online and do research and come back a year.
Right.
And sometimes because what you're selling actually annoys a lot of people. So think about it. You're going in and you're going to sell the HR department on this really great new system for reviewing people. And it works. And it's stellar. Except for the fact that it might eliminate a job for somebody in HR,
mm-hmm.
and it might make a lot of employees really unhappy.
Mm-hmm. Or
because
potential
it's truthful,
employees.
Or potential employees,
mm-hmm.
because it's truthful or more, it opens more up. So you actually cause consternation in a team. You know,
humans are still having to make this decision.
Yeah, and sometimes you're eliminating people's jobs with products. I started out making handheld computers that went on trucks that delivered Coke, Pepsi, Budweiser, all those things. Well, there used to be rooms full of people, mostly mm-hmm. ladies, who hand-typed
mm-hmm.
every invoice into a computer. Well, guess what? We put the computers on the route. All those people didn't have jobs anymore. So, yes and no.
Right. Mike Caldwell, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. He is the head guy over at Square One DSM here in town, and that is it's an incubator program.
Accelerator program.
Yep. For startup businesses here
in the
Des Moines Metro. I'm always astounded. Here we are. We sit in Des Moines, and we think that, this is going on here in Des Moines. This is really cool beans, and we sometimes maybe look at this and say, it's not going on anywhere else on the planet. This is the center of the universe for startups and accelerators and all those things. But every community, it seems like, has something going on.
Yeah. So there's kind of two things you'll hear about, incubators and accelerators.
Mm-hmm.
And we have both here. We have business incubators, we have accelerators. The simple difference, incubators mean get something started. Accelerators, get it growing faster. But what a lot of communities are realizing is they need to invest in the industries they're strong in. We invested in insurance in Des Moines with the Global Insurance Accelerator. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Target up in Minneapolis invest in an accelerator for retail. We're seeing Disney invest in an accelerator for animation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
There you go.
So in a way, what it is kind of like making a minor league.
Sure.
And it doesn't cost that much.
Well, no, because where's the risk?
On the entrepreneur.
Exactly.
And the investor, by the way, too. The investor's got a lot of risk as well.
Well, the investor does have a lot of risk, but at the same time, the investor, if they're doing due diligence, they ought to have, guys are all in the Shark
Risk
Tank.
And reward. Right. Risk and reward.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Shark Tank mentality. I prefer to be kind, but yeah.
Well, it's all TV.
That's TV, and then there's reality.
Right.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
Reality. You know, let's talk a little bit about that. When we get into VCs or when we get into angel investors of those kinds, who are those people?
You know, most of them, first of all, in the world of investing, there's something called the accredited investor. And to be an accredited investor, you have to have a certain amount of net worth or make a certain amount of money. And it's pretty high. It's over $1 million of net worth, not counting your house, or making like $300K a year. But those investors are mostly first-generation wealth. They're people who've made their own money and have built their own businesses, and they're now trying to help others.
Uh-huh.
They're there because they're interested in the business. It's not just investing. There's a lot simpler ways to invest than angel investing because angel investing usually requires a lot of your own time. So you might invest in a company, Michael, and then end up spending a lot of time with them, helping them with their marketing because it's what you know, or connecting them with potential customers because you're trying to help them make it. Versus, investing in a mutual fund doesn't take that much,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it's passion investing, but their age range is dramatic. I have angels in the Plains Angels from mid-20s to early 80s.
Really?
So, yes, and all ages in between pretty much.
What is the... What's the driver? I could understand that many investors get into this to make a buck.
But is
there some altruism here, too?
There is. It's a lot of passing it on.
Yeah.
They talk about paying it forward and all those kinds of things. But if you have, I know a lot of women investors in their 50s, 60s who are trying to find the young women to help them. because if you know any woman who's in her 50s or 60s who went through the tougher days of the sexism and some of the stuff, they were literally locked out of rooms, right. Physically locked out mm-hmm. of rooms. They know how hard it is, and they've learned a lot, and they've learned how to deal with certain issues. And maybe those issues are a little easier now, but they're not gone. You'll see people in the ag space say, I really want to see water management done better. I want to see better food grown with less X, with more Y, whatever it is.
Right, exactly. It is
passion. And mm-hmm. it's not always just passion for, you know, eco. It's passion for, hey, we can do this better. It's just better.
Hey, have you ever been in a situation where somebody jumps in on an investment opportunity and they absolutely know nothing about
what that
is?
All the time.
Really? Are they sold? Are they sold on the idea? Are they sold on the passion
by
the
deliverer? You know what it usually is? No. It's not what you're thinking. I can't use names. We don't name any of our investors. But there's an investor in our group that's really knowledgeable about the medical technology world. Mm-hmm. If he starts to show interest in a deal, everybody runs up to the deal. It's like, if ABC's in, then I'm in. It's like, we all got to go follow him.
Sure.
So angels tend to follow people they have a lot of respect for. So that's a pretty common way to do it.
Do these angels make money?
Sometimes. But remember, the rule in angel investing is for every 10 investments you make, if you made the same investment in 10 companies, in 2 years, 8 of them will be gone. So if you invested $50,000 a company, 10 companies, $500,000, 2 years later, you only have two $50,000 investments left. The other $400,000 is gone.
And now you better hope.
You better make 10X to get the rest of your money back.
Right.
Yeah.
That
should scare you.
That should scare you.
This is not for the faint at heart.
Yes, this is like DraftKings on steroids.
You know, we talk about risk-reward ratios, mm-hmm. and it's like one over the risk of a mutual fund. If a mutual fund's risk can be set as 5%, angel investing is 95%. Wow. It's the opposite. So you don't just make one.
I have to come back to this question. I mean, you know,
What the heck are they doing?
So there's got to be some altruism into this. There's got to be some of this paying it forward. There's got to be some interest in making a dime. But if you lose 8 deals out of 10.
But if the other two have a 25X return.
If they hit.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, so no wonder you have to have some high net worth to get into this game.
You do, and you have to, and that's why the government does regulate it and say, hey, you know what, the average person shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
You know, after World War II, people used to sell stock door to door. And 90% of it was fraudulent stock, and a whole lot of people lost their entire life savings because of very slick salespeople selling certificates. Now, a few people bought AT&T stock that way and put it away and never sold it. Let me tell you, by the time that thing wrapped up, those people were millionaires.
That's right.
So, again, you have to have
some protection. Yeah, it all depends on where you're going. So the event is next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
And it is going to be downtown here at the Square One, at the Partnership Building?
Yeah, it's the Ruin 2 building, our temporary. We're going to be in our new home pretty soon.
Christmas. Is like going on and on and on.
Well, it takes a long time to fix fire damage.
A lot of fire damage.
It was an ugly one.
Yeah, and I pass by that area every once in a while, the old Yonkers building, you know, and I look and say, is it making any progress here? You know, yeah, I see some big cranes and all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, you know how it is when they build things, 90% of it's the infrastructure under the ground to get the first floor down, and then they just kind of pop out of the ground after that. So it's like a year of messing around underneath, and suddenly it goes, and it's up.
All right. Mike Caldwell, ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more by going online.
Online at www.squareonedsm.com.
There you go. Our friend Michael Caldwell in to talk about him being talked about. I don't know. It's going to be something. As long as they don't talk about those other things. Anyway, I want to remind you, coming up next on the 24th is the 2015 Midwest Social Media Summit. It's in Mason City. I get to be up there for NIAC, and it's a full day of marketing and advertising and social media stuff. Just Google that, all right, and you'll find us. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, Dustin Halderson is behind the controls tonight. Thank you very much. The voice of Insight on Business is Jimmy Olson. Mary Sayer is the liaison between us and the Des Moines Radio Group. For Mike Caldwell and also Marianne Amundson, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful Wednesday evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.